Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the 7th chapter of Acts, and it is following Stephen's great testimony of his faith, and then we hear now of the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen, as he was calling on God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. These are your words, Heavenly Father, they are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About 4 years ago, I was listening to a Lutheran missionary from Indonesia, a country that is greatly Muslim, where the Christian congregation he serves was facing a lot of persecution. And he told the story of how they had built a brand new church, and within days of its completion, it had been burned to the ground. And so they quickly got together and built a church again, right on the same spot. But this time they decided to take a vote as to whether or not they would put a cross on the top, which clearly identified it as a Christian sanctuary. And the vote, he said, was unanimous. And then he said this, I loved it, I wrote it down, it was so good. He said, when a church lives in persecution, you do not have the problem of lukewarm Christians. Go into the city, he said, and ask who the Christians are, and even the Muslims will point them out. We don't really live in a time of physical persecution against us today. In some ways, that may be dangerous for us. In the 12th century, a great saint by the name of Bernard of Clairvaux put it this way, the most serious form of persecution the church faces is the lack of persecution because this lulls her members to sleep. The children of light, who by God's grace have been given a knowledge of their Savior, the children of light should not be surprised when the children of darkness hate us. It's doubtful that Stephen was shocked by the opposition that lashed out against him. Maybe to the degree he was shocked, to the degree it came, but he certainly knew there was going to be opposition and expected it. We should expect opposition from the unbelieving world. Christ himself has foretold it and promised us that it's going to come. The unbelieving world, the children of darkness, are already in the kingdom of darkness and belong to the prince of darkness. And we know what he thinks about the kingdom of God and the children of light. And so those who belong to him already by his control and authority despise the word, despise the sacraments, despise the mission of the church, despise the cross, despise the gospel, and it shouldn't surprise us that they despise those who love it and cling to those things and cherish them. And yet the children of light in this world, given the gift of faith in Christ by God's pure grace, still look in sympathy and pity upon the children of darkness. Just listen to Stephen as people are hurling large rocks at his body to kill him. He prays on their behalf, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Just as our Lord Jesus prayed for the soldiers when they were nailing spikes into his wrists. You see, they can kill the body, but they just can't kill love. Why should you and I, as children of light, by God's grace, why should we look with any pity on the children of darkness? Because we know what it's like to be them. It's where we came from. It's who we once were. And it's also where we would be still if it weren't for the powerful work of the Holy Spirit alone. Years ago in a Bible class, it was a men's Bible study I was teaching in the Twin Cities. There was an old man that would frequently say these words. Whenever we started to, the conversation would drift in the direction of talking about the unbelievers in the world and how they did things and thought of things. And this old guy would often chime in and say, "Yes, but there but by the grace of God go I." When the children of darkness in this world rage against you for your faith, pity their spiritual ignorance. Pity what's waiting for them in the future. Rather than turning in them in rage, how much more Christ-like it is to pray for their very conversion through compassion and love. Along with Stephen, let love triumph over evil. Let faith conquer unbelief. Let life beat death. Let the mission of the cross defeat the mission of hell. We should expect today that in our culture, as children of light, we're going to continue to draw the hostility of the world. The cross is just that big of a scandal to every generation. Expect it. And what sad irony that the one institution in this world that carries with it the hope of everlasting life should be treated in this way in its unbelief, in this world's unbelief. How sad on Judgment Day for the very people that stood and threw stones to kill this first martyr in the church will someday finally realize on Judgment Day that he was holding on to the one very message that would defeat their own death while they brought him to his. Now, when we think about the great martyrs of the church and what they have faced for the cause of the gospel, it may cause each one of us to look deep down inside and say, how much could I handle? Would I be willing to go that far? Could I handle martyrdom? Maybe not. Christ has determined just how large of a cup of suffering each one of his sheep must drink in this life. An old Norwegian bishop named Locke wrote it this way: only Christ knows how much you have yet to suffer and what your last hour will be like. But let it be enough that he knows it. Don't you worry about it. If it gets hard for you, then you will receive that much more strength and that much clearer view of glory when it comes near to you. There's a tradition among newly married couples for the groom on the night of their wedding, on their honeymoon night, to pick up his bride and lift her across the threshold. What a picture we have of Christ, the bride, lifting his bride, the church, across the threshold of death right here in this story, this blessed story of Stephen. And what a thing for us to look forward to when our Lord someday, by his grace, will pick us up and lift us across the threshold of our own death. But right now in this world, it may seem like there are times when the children of darkness are defeating the children of light. It may seem like the devil is winning, but the victory that he has here just lasts for a short hour. And whatever the children of darkness may steal from you and take from you in this life, the one thing they cannot take trumps all. But should they in the strife take kindred, goods, and life, we freely let them go. They profit not the foe. With us remains the kingdom. Amen. Please rise. Today we remember a dear sister in our faith who is Janet Teiste, the wife of Reverend Fred Teiste, both graduates of Bethany College. And they live in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. She is in very serious condition, and they have asked for our prayers. And let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we call upon you in this time of need on behalf of your dear child, Janet. We pray that you would grant wisdom and ability to those who now provide her with medical care and assistance. And we pray that if it is your will, that you would restore her again to good health. And yet, with her desperate condition, we also entrust her soul into your care and pray that you would continue to strengthen her should this be the time you take her from this life. Lord Jesus Christ, let our faith be true and living, that we may rejoice in hope and be patient in our tribulations and also active in Christian love. Live in us by your word, precious Savior, and let all of us die in you. Amen.